Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening and greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we're asking for the Holy Spirit to be with us this evening, to give us the guidance that we need, Father, and to open up this word and our hearts and minds to be receptive so that we can grow in faith, in trust, and walk closer with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, if we have done anything that has been displeasing to you, forgive us, Father. Wash us clean. Clean this heart. And make it whole, Father. And we're asking this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We'll take our communion now. So if you've got everything ready, get your bread. We know here in the 23rd verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it tells us, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And you know, when we do this, we are remembering the pain and all that body went through for you and I. Take your bread now and eat. did your cup. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. In remembrance of that shed blood that our Savior shed there on the cross for you and I to cover us. All right. Drink your cup. Now, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. All right. Now, if you will, if you'll turn with me over to Mark chapter 10, picking up there with our study tonight. Give you a moment to get there. Okay. Now verse 1. And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the further side of Jordan, and the people resort unto him again. And as they was wrought, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? See, they really wasn't wanting to know, and especially the truth. They wanted the tempting to get anything they could get so they could get rid of him. Now, we know that Jesus' ministry shifts from the north to the area of Jerusalem in the south. We know that they had departed from Capernaum. And here we find them asking this question so that the Pharisees wish to trap Jesus in his answer. They haven't learned, you know, that he's not a lot smarter than they are. Now, 3. And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. Now you see, this is letting you and I know where divorce actually started and where it became legal and all, and that was under the law. And Moses is the one that went ahead to do that. But you see, Jesus has a different answer. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. Because of the hardness of your heart, he gave you this precept. 6. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. 7. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. That's how tight marriage was supposed to be. And they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. Nine. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. You see, he's letting them know that man is not supposed to take them apart for no reason, really. And in the house, his disciples asked him again of the same man. Now, you see, his disciples, all the way through his ministry, wasn't really understanding him, the things he said or the things he really done. As far as understanding who he really was. Now, 11. And he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. So, we're finding here now what brings about adultery. And that's when he puts his wife away, he divorces her, and marries another, as long as she is living, he's committing adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. So you see, God did not aim for two people that have been married to separate and go different ways. And there's a lot of reasons that now most we're not going to get into. We'll get into them maybe later on. But because when you get married, that's not just between the two of you. That union is actually between three. You, your wife, and Almighty God. And that's why we're told that what God has joined together, let not man put asunder or do away with. Now, but here in 11 and 12, we found out, you know, neither one should be putting the other one away. Now, here in 13, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. 14, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Mark often stresses Jesus showing the strong feelings. He's using the word suffer here, which means allow. Allow or permit. It means those two things. Now, 16. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. And every parent knows that no child is perfect, but Jesus sees in their refreshing openness to new things, their eagerness to learn and follow. A welcome contrast to adult self-dependence and cynicism. Because that child has his faith in his parents. Although they get little rambunctious and all, but still their faith and all is in their parents because their complete dependency is on the mother and the dad. Now, 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Uh-oh. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. 19. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness or lie. Defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. And he's telling the Lord now that he's kept all of those things. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. But you see, Jesus identifies the one area that revealed the man's true lack of devotion to God. A clear-cut issue must be decided. Because you see, although he had been keeping all of those things, those commandments that had been set down through the law, his heart really wasn't right with God. This is why Jesus told him to do those things. And 22, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. You see, his heart was filled with his possessions instead of being filled with God. And we don't hide nothing from the Lord. And as we study, especially through the four Gospels, we see this a lot of times where the Lord knew even before time about what was in them and in their minds and their hearts. Now 23. And Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Now, 24. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? He asked that question there in 24, but here in 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. That's quite a difference, isn't it? But now here in 26, and they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? You see, this is what I'm talking about. Until he really breaks things down for them and tells them, most of the time they have no idea of what he's talking about. Now, 27. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. 30. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters, mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Now, he letting them know, because when we become that child of God's, we belong to his family. And really, we have a lot larger family than the one we left. And really, it wouldn't matter how big a family we left. Now, a lot of them we may never meet. In fact, we've all got brothers and sisters and all out there that we will never meet while we are here on this earth, because there is too much difference in distance to where we can't get to each other. But this is why we pray for all the saints of God. You say, yeah, but you're talking about just the saints. That is a child of God. If you are truly a child of God, you are also a saint. And that's God's word, not mine. That's his word. And you have many other titles also to go with that belief. But we are to pray for all the saints in the world. Pray for all of God's children. Now, 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him. Now he's trying to tell them again about why he is here on the earth. 33, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. 34, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. He letting them know everything that is to be done to him, right down to even being spit on. Now, 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. Now, they're wanting him to do something special for them. 36, and he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand, the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. You see, their heart is not really right at the time either, because they're wanting to exalt themselves above the other 10 of the disciples. Now, 37. Or 38, rather. But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. But listen, Jesus answers next. And Jesus said unto them, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism I am baptized with shall you be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Now, he's letting them know that the choice is not his. You see, they really wasn't right in the heart yet. And we know they're not going to get that way until the day of Pentecost, when they all receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of it, for him to live in them. 41. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Because, as I said, they try and lift themselves up above. 42. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But we know, really, that none of them were called to be apostles over the Gentiles. That was given unto Paul. 43. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. 44. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. Because you see, just as Jesus came, he is the Son of God in all, but what's he doing? He's a servant all, sinner and all, because that's what he came in order to save, was the sinner. 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And he's told them exactly. Now, 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Barnabas, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. 52. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And we have now come to the end of chapter 10. I pray that you have enjoyed our study this evening and that you have received something from it. Not only will help you, but will help you help someone else. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as I close your word, thank you for your word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray for the saints, Father, wherever they are in the world. And we know, Father, that they are scattered throughout. Now, Father, I ask the Holy Spirit to work among them, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Keep them safe. because, Father, many, they are many that are in countries that if they are caught, will mean death. Father, Israel, Jerusalem, we pray for peace for them. But we pray, Father, more so for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, filled with evil because of the evil that we have sitting in offices in high places, Father. And I'm asking this night, Father, for them to be replaced. Be replaced, Father, with those of yours that are walking in righteousness, that love you, that love the Lord Jesus Christ, loved your church, and loved your people, and loves this nation. And will work with us, Father, to help us to bring this land to repentance so it can be healed and put our government back upon the foundation which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for those that's in my heart, Dennis Lee, Amy, Tom, Jacob, Bobby and Millie, and Father, Sue Branson, Debbie, Daryl, Courtney and Shane, my wife, myself, and our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren, Father. I pray and ask the Holy Spirit to work within and with them, to help to bring them to a knowledge of knowing that they need the Lord Jesus Christ, and bring them to the point, Father, to where they will go and accept Jesus and begin their journey on the way home. Now, Father, this ministry is yours, not mine. You sent me here as overseer. You know what is needed for it to grow more. And I'm asking, Father, for your help and for your knowledge. And for you to let me know, Father, what you have for it, and what you want of it, and what you want of me. Father, watch over us all through the night. Keep us safe. Keep us in health. And bring us back together again in the morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and back into your word. This, Father, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I pray you have a good one. Walk with God. He'll walk with you. All right. Good night.